If you've ever found yourself wondering, am I overstaffed? Am I understaffed? Am I staffed appropriately? You will want to watch this video because I'm going to cover five things that you need to think about when you're considering, are you staffed appropriately? Do I have enough people? Do I have enough people for what I'm trying to accomplish? Is it affecting my overhead positively, negatively? So my name is Kevin Johnson, and I'm the CEO of Leverage Consulting, as well as the creator of Leverage U, an online university. So there, as I said, there's five things that I generally work through with a client to figure out whether they're staffed appropriately. One of the questions really that a lot of people have, and they think about, and they talk to others about, is just how many people do you have? And the problem with it is, it's really like a body count. And a simple body count just doesn't cut it. And you'll see why by the end of this video. So when I'm talking about, are you staffed appropriately? You have to consider these five things. So the first thing is, forget the people that you already have. And I'm not saying forget them as human beings, but I am saying forget them in terms of who you've had employed for you or how many people work for you right now. Think of it as more of what does the business need? So when you really start breaking it down, and you will need, for example, if you need a receptionist or a treatment coordinator or a insurance coordinator, or you need X number of assistants in a room, you need a marketing person. When you go through these different ones, you need to start thinking of what does the business really need? And even within those positions, you can start breaking that down, because I do the math with clients all the time, and we start looking at, well, if you see, for example, 30 patients a day, if you see 60 patients a day, are you submitting insurance claims for those folks? And are you submitting insurance claims for every one of them? Or we can look at it from phone volume and how many phone calls do you get per day or per month? So with one of my clients, we went through and we said, pulled phone records, and they were getting, I think, 3,300 phone calls per month. And that was both incoming and outgoing. So the phones are busy. And if you can then start taking the and breaking it down again mathematically and saying, well, how long is the average phone call? And then you'll start seeing and wondering, well, what are the things that we're not getting done? So when you really start thinking about, again, are we staffed appropriately? Let's start with, what positions do you need? And consider every position as being 100%. So for an oral surgeon or general dentist, you'll say, I need X number of assistants based on the way I work. And you know, over the years, I've worked with many, many different practitioners, and everyone has different ways in which they practice. They have different ways in which they want their staffing in terms of, you know, their sedations or whether they're expanded function assistants, things like that. So when you start thinking about the staffing, let's start with positions, not the fact that you've had Mary and Judy and Sandy and Shelley and so on. Just start with positions, no names, and we need one receptionist, we need one treatment coordinator, we need one insurance coordinator, we need one office manager, we need, and you start counting it up that way. So that's the first and foremost thing that's always the baseline to start with. You have to start with what you need, not what you have. So the second thing on the list is experience. And you know, it's funny because with experience, this is something that you have to think of it in terms of the experience of what you need, because someone can come with tremendous experience just for the wrong thing. So for example, if you're building a house and someone says, I've been working on new construction homes for 30 years. You're looking for a carpenter, the person you're talking to is a plumber. It's not the experience that you need. And as simple as this may be, you can have someone who has experience in a different practice management software than yours. So they're not 100% walking in the door. Every doctor I've ever worked with doesn't practice it identically to someone else, even if they came out of a similar program or the same program as another doctor. So when you think about the experience that one has, you have to think about it in terms of the experience that you need. So someone can also have tremendous amount of experience, and it could be they've worked 10 years for you. So again, had all the right experience, because if they've not been put through their paces, they've not been allowed to grow, if they've not been, in a sense, inspired or incentivized to grow, then their experience may still be limited. So you have to look at it in terms of having the right experience for what you need. Number three would be training. And this goes hand in hand with the experience. And with the training, One of the things that I want for every client is you have at least one meeting per month. It's an hour and a half to 2 hours in length. When you have those meetings, it's structured for maybe all office discussion. We're going to talk about things that are just general office updates, our upcoming schedule, what's going on in the world of dentistry, what's going on in the world of whatever. So these are just generalized updates. When you think about then also staff meetings, it should be for training. So when we are doing these trainings, then they're structured in a way that you're giving people the experience that they need, or you're again incentivizing them, showing them ways in which that they can grow within their position to then, again, let's go back to the positions, we're staffing appropriately based on what we need, and we're training the team members for what we need for that position. So when we're looking at, again, the training, it's very structured in the sense of we're training our team members so we can then grow and mold them, groom them for the positions that they are in. So again, start with the position, move on to the type of experience that they already have, and then we create the training that we need for this individual, again, to become 100% within the position that we've created. So again, right now, we're not even counting up how many team members we need. We've counted up the positions that we need, not the team members, which is a difference. So number four is the work ethic. You know, the number four and number five are going to dictate really in combination with number two and number three. So when you couple the experience and the training with the next two things that I'm going to talk about, now we start coming up with a head count of how many people you need to work. So you take the experience, you take the training, and you say, okay, this is employee's path that they're on. And then when you get to number four, that's work ethic. And with work ethic, you can tie this into things like teamwork, you can tie this into hustle, preparedness, resourcefulness, and things like that. So when you think about those types of things, then it's really a matter of once you've got the training and you've got the experience, the work ethic in a way is how do we apply those two things? So when you think about, again, the experience and the training, that work ethic is there in a sense. It's like, how much is the employee really applying these things for the betterment of themselves, the team, the outcomes of your practice? That's what we're really after. So then number five is energy. And you know, and it's funny because there's the employee's energy and then there's team's energy. And when I think about team energy, if you show me the team energy, I'll show you how productive your practice is. Because it's funny how you can have the most skilled employees, and you've heard those things before about it only takes one rotten apple. You can take one team with one rotten apple and it will bring down the entire team. They'll all be running at maybe 80% because of one rotten apple in the entire bunch. They will take team members who are positively motivated, they're energetic, and now dial it back. So maybe that other employee was working at 120%, and now they're only working at 80%, which is a really big change, a really big difference there. So when you think about the energy that the team members work with, you can equate this to their intensity. Because when they're super energetic, they come in, there are no problems, we only have solutions to things, they're running around with a skip in their step, they're running around and they're energizing other team members in a positive way. So you take all these, the number two, number three, number four that I've mentioned, and it's their experience, it's their training, it's their work ethic, and it's their energy. So when you really want that bottom line answer of how many team members do I need, count up the number of positions that you really need to fill. So when you're really wanting a number and you want to figure out how many employees do I really need, we start with the positions, count up how many positions you really need, make sure it meets your business goals, and then you go and you look at the experience, the training, the work ethic, and the energy. And based on that, so imagine if you needed 10 team members, but yet the employees that you have right now don't have the experience, they don't have the training, the work ethic is maybe not a 10 out of 10, and their energy is not a 10 out of 10. And it might be because we've just not really made it a point to help energize our team, or you might have a rotten apple in the bunch. So imagine if you had 80% coming out of your team. They're not every team member there is working as a 10 out of 10. Some might be a 5 out of 10. But when you're working in that respect, you'll need at least 1 to 2 additional team members just to be fully staffed. So count the positions first, and then look at the capabilities of your team, and then you'll figure out both a training plan and a human resource plan, and then you'll get fully staffed. And when you see that your team is fully energized, you will have a low stress, highly productive office.